This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 176. Seven stellar cinematic phrases for IELTS speaking and writing, plus two more.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Get started with our seven easy steps to a seven or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Now, let's get to the show. Today, get your seven with these seven native speaker phrases for describing movies and TV, and keep the examiner on the edge of her seat. Writing is your biggest challenge for the IELTS. It's your biggest fear. But when you know these three examiner secrets, writing will not be a problem for you anymore. And you can get them in video three of our free three-part video series. To get the video series now, go to allearsenglish.com/insider. That's allearsenglish.com/insider. And we'll see you there. Hey there, Jessica. How's it going today?
Hey, Lindsay. Good. Good. It's a surprisingly gray, rainy day here in Portland. And those kinds of days like always make me want to watch movies.
Yeah, you know? That is definitely a movie watching. Today's not really a movie watching day in Boston because actually it's 50 degrees and the sun is out. It's quite nice out.
Yeah. Lovely.
But if I were in Portland, I would also want to watch a movie today.
Just like, I mean, I'm not going to have time to, but I do wish I could just curl up in bed with some Netflix.
That's the best.
Popcorn.
Oh. Yeah, that is the best. There's so much good stuff on Netflix these days. We were talking about that in the other All Ears English podcast, how good the comedies are, the shows are these days. It's incredible. The writing. Like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Just the original stuff they come out with. That's what you mean? Like their own stuff? Yeah. I'm so into it. I just finished a show called River on Netflix. And oh my God. I just binged it straight up. Like as soon as my son went to sleep, I just watched that for like 3 hours. I mean, it was so good. So River. Yeah. Students, if you guys like sort of intense like crime fiction, like he's a detective in London, so you also get that British accent practice. So this guy Stellan Skarsgård, he's a detective in London, and it's just so good. It's intense. It's fantastic. Ooh. And then there's a new superhero one called Jessica Jones. And it's awesome. Guys, it's super dark.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good phrase.
Ooh, it's dark. That's a good one, actually. We should add that to our list today that we're going to help our listeners out with.
Yeah, let's make that term number one for today. What does that mean if I say something is dark, Lindsay?
Something is dark. It gives you that feeling. Well, it's the opposite of a comedy, right? It's something that gives you the feeling of darkness in your head. Literally, it may be talking about some scary topics, some depressing topics. And when I think of a dark series, I also think of True Detective, which is, I think here in the States, we love those crime shows. And True Detective was a good, very well-written show. And that's also very dark.
Yeah, so well done. Yeah, so dark is not drama, okay? It's not it's not synonymous with drama, guys, because drama could just be like a sad story. Dark is not sad, right? Dark is like, dark are stories that go to places that maybe you don't want to go to, right? Stories that you maybe don't want to think about all the time.
Yeah.
But it's good. Like you know, it's,
it's like a feeling of a black cloud kind of lingers in your head the next morning after you watch this kind of movie and you think, oh, the world is not okay.
Right. Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The world is not okay. That's what you think. That's like the best way to explain this. That if you're watching a story and you're like, oh my God, like, the world is not okay. People are messed up. Yeah. What is wrong with the world? Like, if that's your reaction, that means you're watching something that's dark.
Dark.
That's perfect.
Love it. Love it. So that's a first vocabulary expression we want to teach our listeners today. So what are we going to learn today, Jessica? What are we talking about?
Yeah. So guys, on the speaking and writing exams for IELTS, there are often questions about movies and TV. And so we wanted to focus on that today and give you guys some really interesting native speaker phrases. A lot of them are idiomatic as well. And that's something you need to show the examiner in speaking and writing in order to get a 7 or higher for vocab. So these aren't phrases you're going to find in a textbook where it's like, idioms for giving your opinion. Because honestly, guys, if you're looking up idioms in a textbook, half of them are probably outdated. Like, we don't even use those anymore. So everything we're giving you guys today, these are things that Lindsay and I say like now in real life.
Yeah, we just came up with them right off the top of our heads. We didn't look at any lists. We just came up with them ourselves, thinking about movies that we've watched recently. So they are totally accurate and current. So you guys should definitely take out your pens and pencils and write these down.
Oh, for sure. You guys need this list for sure. So the next idiom is there are two idioms related to your seat when you're watching a movie. So the first one is to be on the edge of your seat. If you can picture yourself literally being so involved in a movie, like so into the story that you're just like leaning forward. You're even scooting forward in your seat because you're so into the story, right? And excited about it. Yeah. So this is usually like a thriller or like a mystery, right? Like something you don't know what's going to happen next. Yeah. So you say you're on the edge of your seat. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of the opposite of how you'd sit in a chair in like a college lecture, right?
Right.
Like biology 101. Oh.
Exactly. Yeah. Total opposite. Yeah. That's a good way to remember it though. I mean, if you're really excited about something and this is all you're thinking about, you're on the edge of your seat. Yeah. Or if it's, you can also say, I was glued to my seat the entire time. Like, even though I had to go to the bathroom, I would not get up because this movie was so good.
So let's make this a little bit more practical. So what would be a typical speaking question? I mean, which part of the speaking test would we find a kind of question? And can we throw out just a typical speaking question that we would be answering here?
Yeah, totally. So in speaking part one, you might be asked do you enjoy movies? Mm-hmm. When was the last time you went to the cinema? Mm-hmm. Do you like the same movies now as you did when you were a child? Has technology made or like do special, let's see, are new movies always better than old movies? Mm-hmm. So those are some part one questions that you might get on the exam, like for sure. And these same types of questions about TV shows as well.
Yeah.
And maybe about books, like anything involving a story, you could use these phrases we're talking about today. So that's for speaking part one. And then part two, you could easily be asked to describe a book, describe a movie, describe a TV show. That pops up all the time. And then in speaking part three, those topics will be extended to be like, do you think violence in the movies affects children? Or, you know, these sort of like more difficult questions, but still about movies. You can still use these phrases.
I love that. And the more specific we can be throughout the speaking test by talking about particular movies as examples, the better off we are. And any of these could be used when we bring out that example, right?
Exactly. I just did a YouTube video a couple weeks ago called Go to a Museum, because like, that's the thing. Like, you guys, you know, these questions are going to come up. You know, you might be asked about a movie, you know, you might be asked about a museum. So, oh my God, just watch a movie. go to a museum. Yeah. Like, you and these aren't, I mean, boring homework ideas. I mean, these are things you should be doing anyway in your life.
Right. Yeah. And if you say you're busy, I mean, that's not an excuse in my mind, because we're, again, it comes back to the freedom that you want, that the IELTS exam will give you to follow your career path. Are you too busy to go after that by doing a little extra, a little something extra, going to a museum for an afternoon, watching a movie? Are you too busy for the life of freedom that you want? I mean, guys, ask yourself that question.
Now is not the time to make excuses. Now is not the time to be like, meh, I'm whining. Like, think about this huge goal in front of you and just be honest with yourself and say, I am going to do everything I can in the next month in order to have years of my dream life in the future, right?
Yeah, just like, go all in,
take the
right?
time now. Okay. So we have dark, we have edge of your seat, glued to your seat because the movie is so good. Like, you're so in it. So something, okay, I just used this phrase yesterday when I was talking to my friend about the movie Sicario, which I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. S-I-C-A-R-I-O, weird word. So this movie came out a few months ago and I just saw it in like the second run theater, right? And it has Benicio del Toro and Emily Blunt, and it's, oh my God, like, it's so good. It's dark, and it had, like, the way it's shot is amazing. Just the landscapes that are shot, the scenes that are chosen, the music that is sometimes used and sometimes is silent, just every factor of this movie comes together to just completely engross you in its vibe.
So, engross you. Good word, by the way.
Thank you.
$1 million IELTS word.
Woo-hoo! So, okay. The phrase I use when I'm talking about movies like that is, like, I was completely in it the whole time. To be in it.
Okay.
Do and you say that?
I could say that. I mean, it doesn't make me think of movies when I see the phrase. It could be a lot of situations, right? Completely in, like, some kind of a play or something.
That's
but
true.
I think that the tone of voice is important here, right, Jessica? So I was completely in it the whole time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's important.
So, I mean, there aren't any $1 million words in this phrase, but that's not the point.
Right.
You know, you don't just need $1 million words to score highly on the exam. You need good pronunciation and native speaker like phrases. So just using this phrase, how Lindsay and I just told you to say it, that's going to get you at least a 7 for both pronunciation and vocab. Because although it's not academic, that's not the point. It's a native speaker phrase that other students don't use.
Yeah. And it also seems like it would keep the examiner interested when you say something like that. Oh, I saw this movie. It was incredible. I was on the edge of my seat. I was completely in it the whole time. And the examiner is going to be like on the edge of their seat.
Yeah, totally. And be able to, like, identify with what you're saying, because you're using language that the examiner also uses. You know what I mean? Like, the examiner is going to, just be more in it, more in the conversation with you, right? Than with, like, a boring student. So,
which can make a difference for your score.
Yeah, totally. Oh, completely. Yeah. So, the opposite of this, what if you see a movie that's kind of boring? Okay. So, I went to see a documentary on Peggy Guggenheim, which is a fascinating character from American cultural history. She, like, really interesting story. Yeah. But I hadn't had much sleep the night before. and so I was kind of tired, and, like, the theater was really warm. I had just eaten pizza and had a glass of wine.
Oh, no.
And, like, the seat is really big and comfy. And I just, like, I nodded off. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't super interesting, the movie. So a lot of things took me out of that story.
With documentaries, I think you have to be careful. I mean, it can, there are some great ones and some amateur ones, some not so well done ones, you know? So,
just that, it has to be in a more interesting format than that traditional, like, black and white picture. Expert interview.
That kind of documentary? No, I would have fallen asleep too.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it was. I was just like, ugh. So this, so I could say this familiar worn out format took me out of the story.
I like it. I like it. So it took me out of the story. Yeah, I like that. It's building the context, right? Putting the examiner in your shoes when you were watching the movie. Yes.
Yeah. So a variety of things can take you out of the story, right? Can make you not pay attention anymore. Could be this character is boring, or the music was bad, or the sound was too loud, or, you know, or something was unbelievable. I find also, like, if there's a bad actor in it, it takes me out of the story because I just am looking at that person as an actor, not a character in a story, you know?
Right, right. Or even something in the environment, like if there are noisy teenagers or something throwing popcorn, that could take you out of the story.
I hate when other people distract me from movies. Oh, I hate that. Okay. So if a movie is that bad, right? Mm-hmm. It might not make a lot of money. People might not go to see it. So in that case, there's an idiom we use that say it bombed at the box office.
Bombed. This is so natural, right?
Yeah.
When something bombs, it completely bombed. Very good one to add to our vocabularies.
So good. So good. So yeah. And just that term box office, you should know, like you should use that in any description about movies because, that is a term that a lot of students don't know, even though it is super common. I mean, for us, like we use it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good one to know. I mean, again, having these chunks ready, you know, using them strategically can really make that difference for our scores. So, and I like the next couple of ones because two out of three of them I had never even heard of. But
I know, so funny.
I'm not a real native speaker. I don't know here. Okay.
Well, I think it's safe to say that I definitely am more into fiction
into
stuff
movies.
Than you.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I'm definitely more into the, like, I'll watch, oh my God, I could watch two movies every day if I had time.
Wow.
I love movies. Yeah. Oh, love them. So one term. So often if you do study vocab related to movies, you learn the genres, right? Romance, comedy, drama, thriller. But again, these are things other students are also going to know. So, and that doesn't, like, movies don't fit into one genre anymore. So, one of my favorite terms is rom-coms for romance. Instead of saying a romantic comedy, just say it was a rom-com or like, I would use this because I would say I'm usually not that into rom-coms. They're kind of annoying.
Yeah.
It's always like a happy ending and it's predictable. Ugh. And I really don't like rom-coms.
And it gives us all the wrong ideas about how to date. It gives us all the things of what not to do. We think that's what we should do. That's the problem with romantic comedy.
Yeah, and exactly. It just paints this unreal picture of what, you know, that your average person's love life is like. Like, no, you're not going to meet the most handsome hunk in the dog park and have an amazing relationship. Like, that's not going to happen, you guys.
So rom-com, that's funny. I usually just say romantic comedy, but this is expanding my vocabulary too. Let's go
that's
with
so
it.
Awesome.
And I like the next one too, Jessica.
Oh, this
very
is funny.
Original.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this isn't as common as rom-com, but it is used. I have seen it used like in movie reviews and stuff. Dramedy. So that's a combination of drama plus comedy. So it's a new word. Dramedy. There are some really well done dramedies, guys. Like stuff like the Kids Are All Right, or that's just the first one that came to mind. But movies that are the story is essentially a drama. It's not a funny story. It's not a lighthearted story. But there are. Regardless, there are a lot of times throughout the movie that you where you laugh.
Yeah.
Because
for sure.
Like, because that's real life too, right? Like, it might not be an awesome story that's happening in your life right now, but there's still gonna be jokes. You're still gonna have funny things pop up. So, yeah,
I love that. That's why we're seeing a lot of new movies coming out in these kind of intersections between that convergence point, right? I mean, that's where innovation happens, and that's where the good stuff happens in pop culture is the intersection between two genres.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, and that, yeah, the more that we reflect our current life experience, right? And that's what we're all exploring right now because, I'm sure this happens throughout history, but, especially now in this day and age, the availability of information, we know so much more. So there are going to be more intersections. Like, that's natural. Do you want to take this last phrase for genre?
So the next one, I love this one. So the next one is a chick flick. And I think of a lot of rom-coms as chick flicks, right? Yeah, romantic comedies totally. Are, I mean, what are, let's throw out an example of a chick flick. So Legally the Blonde Notebook. But The Notebook is a good example because it's quite romantic. And that's something that, now this is a stereotype, a generalization, but a lot of women love romantic movies. Where's the dreamy man that rescues the woman and all of this stuff? So that's a good example. The Notebook. And there are a lot of them out there, but just one way to say it, call it, is chick flick. So the word chick means woman and flick means movie. So chick flick. Mm-hmm.
I love that phrase so much. Well, I love it and I hate it.
Yeah,
I
it's
love
a little
it.
Bit,
of course. Yeah, I mean, it is true. It is true. Like, I do know a lot of girls that love those movies, but on the other hand, I know more girls that hate them. You know, I know more girls that would be like, I don't watch chick flicks. They bore the crap out of me. Like,
depends on how cool the girl is.
Right? Exactly. And I just know a lot of cool girls. That's all it is. So, like, if the movie's really funny, you could say it's hilarious, or like side splitting could be another.
I like it.
Idiom. Yeah.
Wow.
And I like this next one because I've totally used it to describe. Okay, let me think. The movie Philadelphia. Made me bawl my eyes out.
Yeah, so, it's also pretty dark, isn't it?
It is, but it's, oh God, it's so good. Like, it's not something I want to watch again, you know?
Right.
But I'm glad I watched it before. So, a tearjerker. This movie is like, is just pulling tears out of your eyes. It's just a movie where you cry a lot. That's all.
Yeah. And it's also kind of a downer. I don't remember the ending, but I think in general, it's pretty depressing, right? It's he has AIDS and it's just generally bad, right? I mean, a good movie, but
Yeah. Pretty sure people die. You know, I don't want to spoil it because I don't exactly remember what happened, but pretty sure there's some death in there.
There's some Bruce Springsteen scene in there too.
Oh God. But really well done, you know. So this something is a downer. It means something puts you in a sad mood, right? Yeah. It's depressing. Yeah,
exactly. Wow. We have really gone all out with our vocabulary today, Jessica. Guys, again, write these down because these are gold and these are going to get you the score you need. If you can insert, you know, choose two or three of them and plan to use them if you get a movie question, and it's going to make a difference in your score.
Oh, huge difference. Huge difference. And, you know, couple this with improving your English skills by watching a couple TV shows, watching a couple movies, and then look back at this list you've written down today on this episode and just tick off which phrases could you use, and then say it out loud. Talk out loud to yourself. Describe the movie and use these phrases.
Love it. Love it. Oh, fantastic. Now I want to go watch a good movie because we're talking about movies. I'm feeling inspired.
Yay! Go watch Sicario. Find it at a cheap seats at a second run movie house.
I will. I will. I'll stop working now and go watch a movie. It's
just
Friday.
Stop working.
All right. Very cool. Jessica, thanks for hanging out today. And I've learned something, and I hope our listeners have too.
That's so funny. That's so awesome. Yeah. Thanks again. Pleasure as always, Lindsay.
As always.
Wonderful day.
I'll see you next week. Have a good weekend.
All right. Bye, you too. Bye.
All right, bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again, and see you soon.